By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine. By the grace of Allah.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله. My listening brothers and viewers of Madani Channel, welcome back to Rise and Shine. Now, as usual, we begin by listening to the verses of the glorious Quran. Yes, my listening brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, this is how we begin our day, how we begin our program, by listening to the beautiful kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That message which was sent to us by the Creator, my dear Islamic brothers, through the means of the greatest of mankind, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. The least we can do is try to listen to it each and every single day. And alhamdulillah, let's begin our day by listening to these beautiful ayat, these beautiful verses of the glorious Quran. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم أفلا ينظرون إلى الإبل كيف خلقت وإلى السماء إلى الجبال كيف نصبت وإلى الأرض كيف سطحت فذكر إنما إلا من تولى وكفر فيعذبه الله العذاب الأكبر إن إلينا
Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah azza wa jal. You know, by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we have, yes, begun our program by listening to the verses of the glorious Quran. But these summer brothers and views of Madani Channel, just a quick reminder that my dear summer brothers, you know, we should make it a habit of ours to recite the glorious Quran. It should be that each and every single day we begin our morning by listening to the Holy Quran or reading the Holy Quran, which is even better. Yes, my dear sisters and brothers, for each letter we recite of the Holy Quran, we gain reward. How many? 10, the Prophet ﷺ mentions. That an individual, Rasulullah ﷺ says, for each letter he recites from the Holy Quran, he shall gain 10 blessings. Now, how shall this be 10, my dear sisters and brothers? He says that I do not say the alif, la, mim, harfun. He says, I do not say this. He says, but rather that a alif is a harf. A lam is a separate harf. A mim is a separate harf. Meaning just by reciting alif, lam, mim, we gain 30, my dear sisters and brothers, blessings, 30 rewards just by simply reciting these three letters. Now, how easy is it to recite these letters? Yet, we do not recite them. It is some of the views of Madin Channel. No, we do not recite them. What do we do? We'll begin our day by turning to our phone, possibly putting on the TV. Yes, Alhamdulillah, Azza Jal, we are putting on the TV in this case. We are watching Madini Channel. And again, Alhamdulillah, Azza Jal, the blessings of Shaykh al-Tariqat, Amir Ahli Sunnah, Damat Barakatuh, Mal'aliyah, who follows ultimately my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Madini Channel, none other than Imam Ahli Sunnat, Imam Ahmed Ridha Khan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And by virtue of such individuals, by virtue of such shuyukh, these spiritual guides of ours, due to them, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we have been blessed to be in this position that we are able to switch on Madini Channel, Alhamdulillah, and listen to the verses of the glorious Quran, recited by a Qari. And these some brothers and views of Madini Channel, you know, even this Qari himself, mashallah, recited so beautifully in accordance to the phonetical rules, Madini some brothers. Yes, in accordance to how the Quran should be recited. But more on this later. Let's turn to the Na'at of the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And again, inshallah, Azza wa Jal, our Na'at Khan, the same one who recited the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will now recite the Na'at of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Mujhko duniya ki daulat na رات دل عشق میں
Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. My dear Simon brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, alhamdulillahi azza wa jal. As you are already aware, each and every single day we try to bring to you a new topic, a new guest also. Today, some of you may have already seen him. Yes, my dear Simon brothers, it is none other than, well, I can't say the man in blue today. Can I have a sir, mashallah?
No, it's a man in mix today.
Allahu Akbar, mashallah, with a beautiful pink Imam Sharif. Subhanallah, pink Imam Sharif. But your clothes are, you could call them blue, can't you?
Alhamdulillah, yeah.
Mashallah, they are blue, so I can't say, you know, the man in blue, mashallah, who is well, none other than our respected Hafiz Rafaqat Sahib. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Hafiz Sahib, firstly, thank you very much for joining us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, especially since mashallah he's just come back from the blessed lungs. Go on then, Hafiz Sahib, tell us something.
Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, beautiful journey. As always, mashallah, Azza wa Jal, what can you ask for than to be in the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and gaining blessings? And seriously, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, you know, it was even better when I started watching Amir Ahle Sunnah's Hajj, you know, the CD that came out. I was in Makkah Park when that CD was there, and alhamdulillah, I watched it. And that gives you more jazbada. This is how Hajj or Umrah should be done. So alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, trying to, you know, imitate some of the things that Amir Ahle Sunnah did. And, you know, with all those who were traveling with me.
SubhanAllah. And also, you've come back from the blessed land, so your du'as, inshallah, if you could pray for us also.
Inshallah.
Pray for the, mashallah, the Madini Channel team, all the viewers of Madini Channel also. Yes, my dear Islamic brothers, let's rise and shine. How, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, each and every single day, we have a new topic. Hafiz, what's today's topic then?
Weddings.
What would you like to share with us today?
I think first thing is, like you mentioned, you mentioned all the cons, the pros. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal. You know, wedding nikah is a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you know, in nikah or in the wedding, what are the most important things? You get your nikah, you get your haq mahar, and you get the valima. You know, these are most likely the few things that are important in nikah and in a wedding. Rest of them, you know, we've all made them up. Basically, maybe it's our culture, where we've come from. But I just want to mention, like you touched upon one thing. How do we go on finding a new rishta for our children? You know, there's a waqia that Amir Ahle Sunnat or Nigran Shura mentioned, and it was about Sheikh Kirman, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali. He's only got one daughter. And now he's looking for a rishta for his daughter. And he gets a lot of proposals from other, you know, big states, countries, princes and all that. And he rejects all of them. So he goes to a masjid and he sees this beautiful young boy who's offering his salah. And he asks him, give him salam, and he says, are you married? And he goes that, no, I'm not married. He goes, well, if you get married? And he goes, I'm very, very poor. I can't even afford to feed myself. How can I afford another person? So Sheikh Kirman, now he's the king. I'm willing to give you my daughter in your nikah. Now this king, where does he find a good rishta? He finds it in the masjid. So that gives us an idea that if you want a pious person, then you go to a masjid. You see the people who are there in the masjid, the young lads who are there. These are your potential good rishte.
Hafsa, this is actually something to contemplate over, something to think about.
Mm-hmm.
Now, nowadays, you would never really approach a person, would you, and say, you know, I have a daughter and I wish for you to marry, etc. This is just, you know, it never happens now, does
it? Yeah, first of all, it would be that parents used to sit their children down, that look, we think you're ready to get married now. And that is different now. It's the child who makes the parents sit down that, you know, I'm ready to get married now. And, you know, it's not that you find me a rishta, I've got all these, you know, I've got this person. No, we're not saying that is wrong. You know, because you have to have the children's rizamandin as well. You know, that's according to the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But where we are going wrong is how we are looking for these rishtes. You know, the first thing that we're looking at maybe is money. You know, looks may be there as well, but money is the most important thing. You know, if you're looking at rishta for your daughter, we want her to go into a good house where the boy is going to have his own house, a beautiful car, some money, a good job and all that. Halakhi, these kind of things are secondary. First thing should be, how is that person, you know, religiously, namazi bhi hai ya nahi hai? You know, these are very important things.
Meaning, does he pray his salah?
His salah as well? I've had someone, you know, he rang up and he goes, I want to get my daughter married up, please can you help me? And first thing I asked him, what kind of rishta? Again, same mentality. Oh, chenga ja kar vena, you know, she lives alone, she gets a good house and all that. And, you know, I said to him that, look, why are you not looking for a rishta that is someone who is pious? You know, someone who is ibadat guzar, someone who reads his salah, at least minimum he reads his 5 times salah. And he goes, oh, how can I look for one of them? She doesn't even do anything herself. You know, where, you know, he was scared. Now this father
so
was
now,
scared.
you know, you can understand why he's actually looking for that type of person. Why? Because his daughter's
like that.
So
again,
what did he say to that person?
I said to him that, look, you know, he goes, I'm scared that if I get a pious, you know, young man like that, my daughter, because she's not practicing herself, she's going to cause him problems.
Allah.
You know, and I
so
really,
his intentions, you could see his intentions are good, aren't they?
Ji.
So, you know, he's not to be blamed.
Ji.
But in a way, maybe, you know, he didn't grant that daughter of his the right upbringing so she could be, you know.
You know, there's a lot of people, you know, approach, you know, Mubaligs and Ulama Ikram, you know, to look for the for rishta for them.
Right.
But the thing is, what are we going to look for? Basically, if I go and look for a rishta, first thing I'm going to look for is the person's ibadat guzar. You know, is he really into his salah,
okay,
reading
first,
the Quran?
Let's ask you this. Have you ever looked for a rishta? What does it mean by rishta?
A rishta means a proposal or a partner for someone.
A potential
like
partner, a potential spouse for somebody. Right, so have you ever, it seems like you have, you know,
I only did it once and after that I said, please forgive me.
Right, so you have done it once. So how did you actually do this one then?
The thing is,
and who was that special person you did it for?
Years ago, now I forgot that. But I don't really, to be honest with you, get involved in these kind of things anymore. Because, end of the day, you know, the boy, mashallah, practicing, subhanallah, you know, you look at nur on his face, and where, you know, the rishte are about.
It could be the other way, couldn't it?
Yeah,
it could be the
totally
boy.
That's what
so
it is.
Good.
It's either this way or that way. Yeah. And, you know, you see, that's not going to be a match. Because if the boy is a practicing Islamic brother, and the girl isn't, they're going to have problems. They're going to get arguments. You know, it doesn't have to be like that. But again, the boy has to have more support trying to, you know, bring her, to his life, or either the other way.
Sometimes
it's really hard,
I don't know,
to be honest.
These sort of things are subjective, aren't they? They're different in different cases and different circumstances. For example, sometimes you can have a person who, yes, you're not there. For example, me, you know, I'm not so practicing, but I wish to, you know, marry a pious woman. Why? Then she'll help me. Or sometimes a woman thinks like this, that, you know, I'm not so practicing, but I want a pious man so that he can help me.
That is good, because now you know the boy who is going to be a practicing one, then you tell him that, look, this is what the girl is like, but she will change, but you need to, inshallah, you know, try to make her change her ways and habits. That's workable, I say. But if there's a, you know, someone who's fashionable and they don't want to change their ways, and then you get them married into a family which is religious, you know, most likely Allah Ta'ala knows best, but the thing is, they're going to get arguments, aren't they?
Yeah.
And then if you are looking for a rishta, he is the one who got the rishta. So you just try to keep away from them. You give them ideas, mashwari, that this is how it should be done Islamically. You know, but that's all we can do.
So basically, you get a backlash if you are to.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you see, this is one of the lessons we need to put down, Hafiz Sahab, that the person who brings them together, it's not like you know the woman, do you? You just probably know the woman's parents. There could be a big difference. There's a big difference between a brother and sister. You know, you have a huge family, you'll get one brother that drinks alcohol, you know, one brother that does such and such thing, and then you could also get an alimuddin from that same family.
Alhamdulillah.
So you can't really judge somebody on their family, but we take guidelines, don't we? So I think the lesson, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers on the channel, is that first, if you do approach some sort of scholar, you know, to find your son or your daughter a partner, to find them a husband or a wife, then if they do, you should respect them for taking the time out and going to find that spouse for your child. You know, it shouldn't be that if something does go wrong, it's not in his hands, is it? You know, he's just brought two individuals together, subhanAllah, which is the act of sunnah. It is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, whatever happens between them is up to them, isn't it?
And sometimes, you know what it is, you've got to make the, you know, once the rishta is done, the shadis happen, now you've got to make it work now. You know, sometimes what your desires are, what your wishes are, you've got to put them on the side and, you know, somehow I need to get this working.
I think, Hafsa, sometimes people think, you either match or you don't match. I think this is the wrong way of looking at it.
Definitely.
Because sometimes you have to make it match.
Work.
You have to make it work. Mm. It's not like, you know, we're good together or we're not good together. So it's not based on look, is it? So this is where some people have said they don't really like religious, you know, marriages, or they think that, you know, how is it? Because in religion, you're not allowed to sit and talk to the girl and do such and such, you know, before your marriage. There's only so much, there's limits, isn't there?
You know, that's why you get the extended family to, you know, to do a lot of work. But now, again, and even the family system is all collapsed now. On the feedback that I have had, some people, we've had a word with our rishtedar. Instead of looking for someone good, they're really jealous, and instead of making it work out, you know, they've destroyed it for us. And sadly, we've come to that state now where we're doing all these in secret now. You know, I've had people where they say, you know, they written a text message, you know, don't, please make sure you don't send this message to him. We've done our daughter's rishta to this boy here, you know, but don't tell anyone. Not even my cha-cha, don't tell him even. This must be a good thing. You know, alhamdulillah, you know, you've had this rishta. You know, let the family, you know, go, no, buri nazar la your son.
Allahu Akbar. What does buri nazar mean?
Buri nazar, like, you know, they're going to put cast an evil eye on them.
Yeah,
maybe everything's going to fall apart. We're scared of our own relatives now.
SubhanAllah, this is the truth. And sometimes families split up due to this.
Yeah.
One brother and another brother, they may be that, you know, throughout the entire, obviously they've grown up together, they're brothers. But when it comes to, you know, I don't wish to give my daughter in marriage to your son, or my son in marriage to your daughter. Why? Because alhamdulillah, my child is practicing, yours is not.
Mm.
So I would like to give mine to a practicing person. Now when that's going to happen, then it breaks up ties. So people are afraid to tell their own brothers that, you know, I've done my child's rishta.
Mm.
Although what happens when you found a spouse for your child, you know, when the engagement has taken place, then, you know, that itself is something to be excited about.
Get the family together, make dua. Alhamdulillah. You know, like you correctly said, that is, people are scared of their own rishtedar, their own brothers and sisters, because they're going to crack.
So those people who are like this, what do you have to say to them? Hafsa?
You know, jode are made in the heavens, you know. And that doesn't mean that because they've already been made, you can't change them. It means that Allah Ta'ala, inshallah, if you do good to someone, you know, good things will happen to you as well. If your brother or your sister have done something, a rishta that you want, maybe, now that's what they say, oh, we wanted your daughter's rishta, why have you given it to someone else? You know, sit down and talk about it, rather than accusing someone. You know, they may have, and most of the time, they do have a good valid reason.
I think, Hafsa, how we need to look at this is, think if you were in their shoes, if you were in their position. Now, every parent wants the best for their child, for their own child. It's true, isn't it, Hafsa?
Bilkul.
Every parent, my dear brothers and viewers on the channel, wants the best for their child. Now, if a brother has gone against another brother, this actually shows that, you know, that a child comes before a brother.
Yeah.
It shows the love a parent has for the child. So if they're doing this, just respect that love between a parent and a child. Why is it that you're going to break up with them just because they didn't? It's because they do not consider your child to be appropriate for theirs.
And
that's the reason.
If you think about your brother's son as your son, then you're going to make a good faisla.
SubhanAllah.
You know, that if, you know, like you said, if that was my son, he is your son. Don't even think about it, because cha-cha, mamu, all these rishte, they're blood relations.
Yeah.
You have to treat them good as well. Treat them as your own, and they are your own, and inshallah, you'll make a good decision.
SubhanAllah. And yes, the auntie, meaning the mother's sister, is your mother.
Definitely.
The mother after your mother, my dear seven brothers. And my dear seven brothers, I think it comes back to cohesion, you know, within families, how we've got that mutual hatred and animosity between each other. Whereas families used to be, it used to be literally one family, didn't it?
Alhamdulillah.
Nowadays, you know,
being a wedding is such a beautiful rasam nikah, rasme nikah. It's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I've also read in somewhere, I think it was sunnah nikah, that when the nikah is being performed, you know, Allah Ta'ala showers His mercy upon all of the people who are present, forgives their sins. You know, so this is such an ijtima where all the people get together and there's forgiveness there for you. You know, so alhamdulillah, azawajal, number one priority will be look for a pious spouse. You know, make sure they're practicing. Don't worry. Sadly, there's cases where people have just looked at money and all that. I can remember one case where a father, you know, he was modern himself and he was looking for a rishta for his daughter. Or that, you know, that boy drives a very good car, so they're wealthy, I'm going to give my daughter. So even the daughter was like that as well. So they got married. The only way they found out is when the daughter got married, third day she came back home. What's happened? Oh, police raided her house and he's got arrested. He's in jail for 16 years. You know, why he was a drug dealer? You never looked at that. And first of all, you know, we had a family system where the parents were making the decision. Suddenly, parents are not making the decision.
You see,
anymore.
Hafsa, you know, for example, you know, the views of Madhya Channel can't come to you to ask you for Rishta. So what would you advise them to do? Those brothers or sisters out there who wish to look for a Rishta, what should they do?
I think first thing is, alhamdulillah, you know, we've got this tarbiyat from Amir al-Sunnah, right. You know, so many Madani pearls, that when you look for a Rishta, make sure, you know, he's pious, he's religious.
Basically, they need to speak to their parents.
Obviously, you know, you have to get your parents involved. You know, the thing is, sadly, is that, you know, we've come to a stage now where people say, oh, my mom and dad don't know. Yeah, when you were little, then they knew everything, but now because you're grown up, they do know. And you know, the funny thing is, you know, when we have these arranged marriages do some, there's a difference between an arranged marriage and a forced marriage. Yeah? So we have arranged marriages.
But I think, Hafsab, another problem is these castes we have. What would you say about this?
I've been through that. Janab, if he's not a certain caste, then that's it, our daughter's not going to get married. These are, you know, the caste system was, you know, for your pehchan. Like our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was Qurayshi. Now, if you look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, most of the wives, they were not from the same tribe as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So that teaches you that this caste system that we are fighting against is wrong. You know, this is where, you know, our children, nowadays, let's look at it realistically, yeah. Your child goes to school, she goes to university, they look at someone, they like that person, and they want to get married. Yeah. Now, everything's fine, but he's different caste. And we shouldn't be looking at that point.
Recently I had a case where, you know, somebody, you know, there was this couple, they wanted to get married. Rather than them doing wrong, it's better they get married.
Gee.
You know, if anybody is doing wrong, then, you know, you should get married straight away. Otherwise, you are committing sin, you are committing a haram. And by performing marriage, those haram acts now become halal.
Gee.
If they're in accordance to Islam. Now, what's happened is, that person, now subhanAllah, they've got married, but basically his entire family stopped talking to him, and especially his granddad stopped talking to his family. Why? And though his granddad said, one thing is they're of a lower caste.
Hmm.
Right? By the way, even Islamically, a man is allowed to marry a woman of a lower caste.
Yeah.
But he said, what he said was, these are the words which actually, you know, struck me. What he said was, even if you bring a non-Muslim to my house, if you bring, you know, the way he said is, if you bring a, well, I don't want to repeat the words which he said. If you bring, you know, something to my house, I prefer that than you bringing
her.
Than you bringing her, just because of her caste. You know, it's quite sad, isn't it?
You know,
where they bring that before. In fact, it clearly shows that they've brought the caste itself even over religion.
Gee. So many things have happened, so many houses have been broken, so many families have, you know, split up, apart because of this caste system that, you know, we brought in.
My dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Rise and Shine, don't worry, Rise and Shine, inshallah, those out there who do not have a spouse and do wish for one, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them all a pious spouse and grant them all a successful marriage, inshallah wa azza wa jal. Let's quickly turn to our next segment, Hafsab, which is a reminder, and then inshallah we'll come back to our topic. Sallu ala al-habib
sallallahu ta'ala
Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. Alhamdulillah, once again, it is time for a reminder in Rise and Shine. So what are we going to be learning today? Well, today we're going to be learning about the usage of perfume by our beloved Nabi صلى الله تعالى عليه وآله وسلم. We've already learned that the blessed perspiration of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the blessed body itself had such a beautiful fragrance, and this was without having applied perfume. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was never in need of any perfume. Rather, his perspiration, as we learned, his perspiration was actually used as perfume. So, but in order to teach us, the followers, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also used perfume. So it also became a sunnah for us. So when we apply perfume and we apply it with the intention of acting upon the sunnah, it becomes a means of reward for us. As well as a means of good smell and good fragrance, it becomes a means of reward for us as well. So Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu, he says, كان لرسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سكة يتطيب منها. That the beloved Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم had a container of some sort of with fragrance, through which he would use fragrance from there, and he would apply fragrance. And it is narrated with regards to Sayyidina Anas bin Malik radiyallahu ta'ala an, that he would not reject and refuse perfume and itr. So he would not refuse fragrance when somebody offered it to him. And he said that the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would not refuse perfume. He would not refuse itr when he was given it. So this is also a great teaching of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that we have learned through the means of Sayyidina Anas radiyallahu ta'ala an. Sayyidina Ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, he says that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ثَلَاثٌ لَا تُرَدُّ. Three things should not be refused. Three things should not be rejected. What are those three things? الْوَسَائِدْ وَالْدُّهُنْ وَالْلَّبَنْ. The pillow, if somebody offers you a pillow, perfume, and milk. These three things should not be refused. And keeping in mind, like I said, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he actually did not need perfume, but he did it to teach us. He applied and he used perfume. See that? And what are his teachings then in terms of how and what sort of perfume we should apply? Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says that قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم طيب الرجال ما ظهر ريحه وخفي لونه, that the fragrance of men is that which has clear smell, the smell spreads, and but it has no color, so no visible color. So the fragrance of men is that which spreads but has no color. وَطِيبُ النِّسَاءِ مَا ظَهَرَ لَوْنُهُ وَخَفِيَ رِيحُهُ. But the fragrance of women is that which has color, the color is apparent, but the smell is hidden or the smell does not spread. And in general guidelines, these are the guidelines that the scholars give as well in terms of what sort of perfume men should apply and what sort of perfume women should apply. The beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would take musk and he would apply it onto his blessed head and onto his blessed beard. Keeping in mind, in this day and age when we're using perfumes, because it's very hard to actually get hold of pure perfumes that are free from any chemicals. It's really hard to kind of get that sort of perfume. So just be careful when you're using perfume in this day and age, and obviously applying it to the beard or applying it to the head. This is something that might actually end up damaging the hair, especially if it's a perfume with a lot of chemicals in there. So even though it is proven from the narrations, like we've seen, the beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would take musk and he would apply it to his blessed beard and his blessed hair, but we should also be careful with regards to doing it when we have perfumes which contain chemicals. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would love good smell, and he disliked bad smell. This is the reminder for us today, and this is the reminder that we should take away today, that we should get used to applying perfume, and particularly before we go to visit anybody. And there are so many good intentions that a person can make. You know, for example, if we go to a place, we go to a gathering, we smell bad. Now, when we leave, people will backbite about us. So, when we apply perfume, one of the intentions we make is, you know, I'll smell good, so it could potentially save a Muslim from backbiting. And many other intentions we can make. The main one being that it is a sunnah of the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So alhamdulillah, this is the reminder for us today. So those are the views of Madani channel. If you do not have, you know, those of you that don't yet have itr and perfume, then go to a shop and purchase one and start to use it with the intention of sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to do so.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And these seven brothers and viewers of Madinah channel, that was our mashallah Ammar by a new, well, shall I say, soon to be a graduate, inshallah, of Jama'atul Madinah, Bradford. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him. Again, the beautiful fragrance of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We were speaking a little about this yesterday, Hafsab, you know, how some people may be tricked, you know, they may have been tricked to imagine that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is like us.
Allahu Akbar.
You know, but then when you do actually look at the Quran and the Hadith is, you know, you think to yourself, you know, how on earth can you believe such a thing?
Indeed.
How can that individual who, you know, his beauty, we cannot even see, we cannot
Indeed.
Imagine why? Because it has been veiled. And then his fragrance is, you know, better or greater than musk itself.
Indeed.
You know, where it's mentioned that the Noor, well, he is Bashar an Noor, isn't he?
Yes.
Prophet ﷺ himself says to Hazrat Jabir, that, oh Jabir, indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created before the rest of creation. It is the first of creation.
I've had a little conversation with an Islamic brother, he read the verse of the Quran, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, that look, I am like you. So, you know, he got confused and he goes, well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to the people, I'm like you. But then, you know, the easiest way I could explain to him was that, look, brother, you need to understand what the context of this verse was.
Gee.
Yeah. If the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like us, there was water gushing through his fingers. You can't do that. You know, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he used to spit in an handi. And you know, and then he used to cover it. And 1,200 Sahaba Ikram would eat that. You go and spit in your handi, you'll be outside on the road.
Allah, yeah. But a sour well would turn sweet Indeed. Due to the blessed saliva.
So these are some of the things that, you know, if you look at it.
I think because you mentioned that verse, I think we must explain it now. But Islam brothers and viewers of my channel, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is like you. Why was this mentioned? The reason is because some thought Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he performed such miraculous things, you know, such miracles that they thought, mazallah, you know, that he was God.
Mm.
Or they brought him to such a level that they began to call him God, you know. So in order for this not to happen in the religion of Islam, for us not to ever consider Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to be God, this was the reason why this was mentioned. That yes, remember, he is a man, yeah, he is a perfect man. You know, وَأَحْسَنُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَرَى قَطُّ عَيْنِي, more beautiful than you, no eye has ever seen. وَأَجْمَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءَ, and more beautiful than you, no woman has given birth to. خُلِقْتَ مُبَرَّأً مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born free of any defect whatsoever, my dear Islamic brothers and viewers of Allah. Everyone has a defect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't have any defect whatsoever. كَأَنَّكَ قَدْ خُلِقْتَ كَمَا تَشَاءُ. I just love these. And I think I've mentioned this twice or thrice. You know, it was as if you were created just the way you had wished to be created, ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So to protect the believers from anthropomorphism, meaning giving somebody God-like attributes or claiming somebody to be God, this Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in the Quran to protect us. That yes, whatever he may do, he is the greatest of mankind. He's not ordinary, but yes, he is a man. He is man. Ji.
You know, but we always believe that there is no contradiction between a hadith and the verse of the Quran. There's no contradiction. There are many hadiths. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to keep the fast, that one after the other, one after the other. Yes. And the Sahaba ikram wanted to act upon that. And there's a hadith, the mafhum is that, I'm not like you.
Yeah, it says, as Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, that, oh Abu Bakr, nobody will truly understand what I am, other than my Lord. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala understands who I am truly. None of you can understand me. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam could continue and continue without eating. The companions tried to do so, and what would happen? They were showing signs of weakness. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know, what's wrong with all you lot? He said, ya Rasulullah, we're fasting because we saw you fasting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, you lot are not like me. You know, you're not like the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wasallam. He's the greatest of mankind. Let's move to our next segment. The next segment is a daily hadith. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وسلم. Dear viewers of Rise and Shine, inshallah azza wa jalla, today we will hear a beautiful hadith about our beautiful destination, Jannah. It is narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala, and qala Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, qala Allah ta'ala, a'adattu li'ibadi al-salihin ma la aynun ra'at wa la uzunun sami'at wa la khatara ala qalbi bashar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have prepared for my worshipper such things that no eye has seen, such things that no ear has heard, and such things that nobody has even thought of. My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Jannah is such a beautiful abode which is for the believers only. It is full of divine blessings. The people of paradise will have whatever they wish in their hearts. As soon as they desire a certain food, a certain fruit, a certain drink, this will immediately be presented before them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to work towards this beautiful abode in which we will have many blessings. Amongst the greatest blessing of Jannah will be the visions of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the beautiful neighborhood of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Jannah Hafiz sahab, mashallah, you've come from Jannah, haven't you?
Alhamdulillah.
What do you mean by you've come from Jannah?
Truly Jannah, Medina is paradise. You know, there's a poem of a Buzurg Ahmadullah. On the day of judgment, Allah Ta'ala will say to a person, where do you want to go? And the person will say, Medina.
Allah, Allah, Allah. Allah.
Because there's Riyazul Jannat in Medina. There's no Medina in Jannat.
Allah, Allah, Allah.
Muhabbat. You know, some don't take it the wrong way. Some people will say, they don't want to go to Jannat.
Meaning, yeah. This is his love for the beautiful city of Medina al-Munawwar. Yes, my dear Sahib brothers, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam does say about our place of this is a part of Jannah,
Subhanallah.
Some of the views of Madinah, which we call Riyazul Jannah, which means the garden of Jannah, the gardens of Jannah itself. Yes, my dear Islamic brothers, that is a beautiful zikr, the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam pertaining to Jannah itself. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send us all to Jannah, Hafiz sahab.
Ameen.
Now, Hafiz sahab, would you wish to continue in terms of weddings, etc.? You know, there's so much being spent on weddings as well, isn't there?
Extravagant amount of money. People go to banks, they get loans, you know, they get overdraft from credit cards just to fulfill, you know, their customs. And for that, Allah Ta'ala forbid, when they come to a stage that the wedding's not working out, the children are not happy, all that money is wasted.
And you know, all that debt.
All the debt that is there, then the family issues, brothers and sisters. Why do we even go to that extent? You know, just simple nikah. You know, the most important things I mentioned before, nikah, haq mehr, and walima. These are the three important things.
Can you explain these three things?
You know, for example, nikah is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Nikah is the actual marriage ceremony itself.
Haq mehr is what the man gives to the wife at the time of nikah. He has to give her a dowry. Yeah. And then the other one is walima. Walima is the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Where's mehndi, maniya, nothing there. You know, all that money
What is the walima, Hafiz sahab, before we
walima is on the side of the boys. After the nikah has taken place, the boy invites his family members for food. And it's like a feast. Yes, they have a feast. You know, and that is a walima. And it's a sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
So even if you feed a few people, the walima,
the sunnah will be acted upon. But you know, it's not the problem is not feeding. Now there's another issue now. Because we want to go to the most extravagant hotel. You know, pehle hona, see, you go to a wedding, the whole family goes together. Now they write you on a card, two people. So which two people are you going to take from your family? And sometimes they even write, okay, if you said if you're one of your friends, you know, and they've written two people.
Sometimes can you blame them for that? Because, you know, it might be that your family grows, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It might be that nowadays the family's gone so huge.
But you don't have to call everyone though. You know, your distant relatives.
If you don't call them half a sub, then
the problems that I have seen myself are the problems of two people is who's going to go? Me and him, forget it. We're all not going. You know, that's the main problem. Because, again, extravagant. In a palace, we used to have a system where, you know, everyone used to be there. All the relatives used to roll up their sleeves. You know, koi dega par, koi idhar. And all working together. Nowadays, you sit there, ma'azallah. I've been to weddings where, and alhamdulillah, because of the mindset, you have to sometime walk out. I'm sorry, I can't stay here. There's women serving. You know, there's women serving and, you know, everyone's just sat down the chair. Women serving, music on. What's all this about, you know? And then, you know, Brian Naam, you know, just for the name of it, first is dua kare. You know, so we make dua. As soon as the dua, bi rahmatika ya rahma rahimin.
That's the music played.
Music starts, yeah. What's the point of making a dua? You know, you did dua for barakat and then you're doing totally the opposite. So to be honest with you, I have you know, made myself not to go to many weddings now. It's not worth it. I don't want to, you know, be in a place where there's lanat of Allah Ta'ala being, you know, there's a hadith mafhum that Allah Ta'ala curses upon that place where there's music and there's intermingling as well. How can I take my family to a place where there's music and intermingling? Tiga, your mindset isn't there. Don't corrupt me as well. So you've got to save your own family. You've got to save your own people, as they say.
Subhanallah. Jazakallah khair, Afsab. Now, you know, all that money that people, they're bringing themselves in debt. And sometimes people, throughout the rest of their lives, are trying to pay that off, aren't they?
If the wedding works, Tiga Banara Chalo will struggle. But if it doesn't work, that's another burden. You know, you spent all that money, what for?
And then he needs to get married again.
He needs to get married again. And then you're going to have a low key. And why didn't I have that in the first place?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the thing is, we need to understand all this money that Allah Ta'ala has given you is Allah Ta'ala is a test. It's a test from Allah Ta'ala. And then you gotta, you know, you give account for this on the day of judgment. How are you gonna give account? No one is perfect. You know, Amir al-Sunnah has mentioned that someone like Amir al-Sunnah who keeps on saying, I'm not perfect. We're gonna make mistakes. Do our Islam where I do wrong. Please tell me. But, you know, what we're doing in our weddings nowadays is totally out of order. Hiring cars. You know, when your Maulvi Sahib goes to read Nikah, no one gives him more than 1500 pounds. Dawud Islami doesn't take money, alhamdulillah. But the thing is that, you know, there's ulama kiram, you know, it's a good act to give to the ulama. How much you give them? 50 pounds, 100 pounds. And if they do ask for 100 pounds, that's galam bande sunnan, yeah? And then all of a sudden you're hiring a car for 1000 pounds, 500 pounds. Oh, we've earned this money, But that person has made your children, alhamdulillah, have become halal on one another, and this is what you do to them.
Allah, subhanallah. And some brothers and viewers of Madin channel, you know, another place to spend that money, let's find out. MashaAllah, we have a promo, let's move to that. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. MashaAllah, you know, I don't know what that last one was, the cutting of the tablets.
Oh, that was the Shifa Khana, the hospital. That every employee in Dawat Islami,
right,
especially in Pakistan, Dawat Islami pays for their medication, pays for their treatment. And if that treatment is, because we have our own hospital in Fizan-e Madina, if there's something that can't be treated there, Dawat Islami will pay for not only for the person, but for his whole family treatment in other hospitals as well.
Subhanallah. And these brothers and viewers of Madinah, mashallah, who Azza wa Jal, Dawat Islami is doing throughout the entire world. And it's also helping others also. There's many projects in helping others. For example, you know, recently dialysis, you know, there was a few individuals. There was one person who something's happened to his house. And, you know, he used to go to the masjid. And mashallah, these are the type of people that Sami pays for their shifa, pays for them to be cured. Those people who are, you know, praying five times salah in the masjid. There's one brother who I think he has some sort of leg problem.
Ji.
And it would take him, you know, an hour or so to go to the masjid because he used to live at the top of a place. And Dal Sami provided him with, you know, he was disabled as well.
Yeah, Dal
Sami provided him with some sort of, I think, a separate apartment, you know, because his apartment used to have leaks and whatnot. So, you know, Dal Sami is helping imams, those people who are reciting day and night the Quran, those people who are memorizing the Quran, those individuals who are trying to understand the Quran, becoming scholars, the future ambassadors of our religion. These are the type of people that Dawat-e-Islami is helping, is aiding, is granting shifa to in a way. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants shifa, but aiding them in their gaining a cure from any sort of illnesses, difficulties, hardships. Dawat-e-Islami is providing people all over the world, my sisters, some brothers and viewers of Madinah.
You know, there's an English saying, give a man fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man fishing, feed him for life. And Dawat-e-Islami is doing that. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, there's 107 departments in Dawat-e-Islami. We're just talking about some of the departments where so many thousands of people are employed. And Alhamdulillah, Dawat-e-Islami will pay for their treatment, you know, if they do get ill, for their families. And not only that, we teach them. So for example, a Hafiz-e-Quran. You know, Alhamdulillah, he goes into Madrasatul Madina, becomes a Hafiz-e-Quran. Tomorrow, inshallah, he will be teaching a madrasa. So now Dawat-e-Islami has provided him a full-time job where he is feeding his family now.
And
there's so many cases. And let me give you an example like yourself. You came as a student, you studied, and now you got a full-time job. You know, so this is what Dawat-e-Islami does, Alhamdulillah.
I'm able to look after myself, Alhamdulillah. I'm only able to sit up here. Why? Because of Sheikh Tariqat Amir.
Alhamdulillah. You know, that faith is there, Alhamdulillah. But if you look at it realistically, you know, people say, you know, ulama, you know, inna ki ka kharcha, you know, because we don't live on the planet. You know, we like normal people. You know, we live in the families. We need to feed our families as well. But look at the way Dawat-e-Islami is, Alhamdulillah, giving, you know, treating our own ulama is because these are the best people amongst the people that they are going to go and teach other people as well. If you were not sufficient, then you wouldn't have done this. You know, you probably have gone somewhere else, looked for a job. Dawat-e-Islami says, no, you studied here. Now come to us. We'll provide you what you want and you do the Madani work.
And by the way, we've not turned, you know, for example, from the graduates so far, from our Jamatul Madina, not one person has been turned away.
Alhamdulillah. They're all in Dawat-e-Islami.
All
of
them
are
working
given
in some sort of department.
The thing is, there's so much that we need to fill that, you know, we can't even afford any one of them just to go away and go to any
Why?
Other place.
Why? Because mashallah, there's so much work that Alhamdulillah. Is doing Madani Samir Brothers. You have just seen is a few departments of Dawat-e-Islami. This is just a speck, really. It's just a speck what you have just seen of what mashallah Azza wa Jal Dal Sami is doing throughout the entire world. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and